Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-commerce Paradise Podcast. Today's episode, I'm going to talk to you about how to spend your marketing dollars. So as you build out your e-commerce business, there's a lot of different ways that you can spend the profits that you make. And especially in the very beginning, I highly recommend that you do not take home any of the money. In the first 6 months to a year of your online business, you really should be reinvesting any profits you make back into the business that you can scale it to a point where it will be a full-time income and be consistent every month so that you can count on it so that you can quit your job and start traveling the world or just working from home. So what do you reinvest your marketing dollars on? There's a lot of different things you can invest in. You can invest in content, and that's the first place I would start. Content is definitely one of the best ways to drive traffic to your website. It's also one of the best ways to convert traffic that goes to your website into paying customers. And by content, the first thing that I really want to impress upon you is that content doesn't necessarily have to be blog posts. In fact, content should be product descriptions, custom long-form product description sales letters. So when you think about product descriptions, a lot of people just think, you know, just describe the features of the product and, you know, have a list of specifications. But in reality, that's not what product descriptions should be. Product descriptions should be really well thought out, long-form sales letters. They should start with the customer's needs and problem, and they should talk about how the product solves those problems. And they should talk about those features, but it should also talk about the benefits of the products. And it should include pictures, it should include a product sales video, and it definitely should have the specifications in there. It should also have a question and answer section, and it should also have answers to return policy, warranty policy, anything that's, you know, that the customer might wonder about the product. And then to go along with product descriptions, you should have reviews on all your products imported from, you know, Amazon or wherever those products are being sold in the marketplaces. You can also import them from your supplier if they have them. But the key thing here is that your product pages need to have content on them. And so the first thing you should do when you get products put on your website, you're probably just going to have the content from your supplier copy and paste it to your website. First thing you should do when you start getting sales is invest in buying product descriptions written, you know, with gigs from Fiverr or wherever you want to get content written. I recommend using Fiverr. And because that's where it's also very affordable. Now, you have to make sure that you write really good product description briefs. Like I was just kind of explaining on how to get them written, you have to make sure that you define each section you want, and you have to give the product description writer examples to draw from. So the best way to do that, of course, is to go out into the marketplace and find a competitor that is doing their product descriptions really well, and just give that to the writer and say, hey, can you model after this, you know? Sometimes it's Amazon, sometimes it's your competitors, sometimes it's actually a review site or something like that. Sometimes it is the supplier itself. But there are really good product description writers out there, and they should definitely understand all the different things that you're asking them to do. And you really only need about 500 to 1,000 words, which should cost you $5 to $10 from a really, you know, low-cost content creator out there. And the quality may not be 100%, but as long as you give them a really good brief as to exactly what you want them to write, then it should be really good, you know, on point. And ask them to use the Grammarly tool as well, so that even if, you know, the writer is in India or something like that, at least the grammar will be on point enough to make it really good. And so that's just a starting point. That'll get you some content. And like I said, you have to add pictures to that content of the product. Where it talks about features and benefits, add pictures of those specific features and benefits. And you have to go through and optimize that and add the video and all the other stuff too. So once you have really well laid out product pages, then those ads that you're sending to those product pages are much more likely to convert. Now, there's other things too that you have to do, like, you know, having expiring coupon codes and offering free gifts and, you know, promoting all the unique selling propositions of your website, and then optimizing each step of the funnel. But that's the starting point, is the product descriptions and, you know, the Q&As and the reviews. The next type of content, of course, that you want to get made is blog posts. Now, blog posts are often pre-frames. In other words, it's something that someone lands on who's higher up in the funnel. Maybe they're problem aware, but they're not specifically solution aware yet, or, you know, maybe they're solution aware, but they're not product aware and how that product is going to actually solve that problem. So those blog posts are going to help with the middle and top of the funnel stuff. And also, blog posts can help a lot with after-sales support as well. Like, you can make blog posts for how-to keywords. How-to keywords are really good. It's higher up in the sales funnel, and it gets people leading them from the problem to the solution, which is the product you're selling, and recommending that they buy. And then you can do like assembly or installation keywords. Those kinds of things are really good because, you know, if somebody's bought your product, they want to know how to put it together or install it. So then, you know, they can go back to your website for that resource. So there's lots of good blog posts you can make. Some of the best keyword optimized ones are using best keywords, best this, best that, and usually just use the word best and then your product category. And you can make a really long buyer's guide and then recommend, you know, 5 or 10 products from your website in that buyer's guide. And that keyword may rank on Google. And, you know, you can even make a video of that same article and post it to YouTube. That's a really good way to get traffic. And then that traffic will flow through to your website. And what that traffic is, it's a little bit higher in the funnel, but it's also pretty low. It's people that are interested in getting one of those products. They just haven't decided which one to get yet. And you are going to give them a really good recommendation on what they should get. And that's the key. So by recommending, you'll stand out as the authority in your niche, and you will definitely, you know, get more customers in different ways and probably a lot of free traffic as well. So that's one good way to do it. Product description content and blog content. And then, you know, with your marketing dollars, you should definitely also invest in email marketing. So you can either invest your time or you can pay someone to actually go through and make some really good email marketing flows. But the best thing about email marketing is that it goes right in line with your content. So you can segment your lists according to who signs up and what they're interested in. So if you just have like a basic promotions list, like a coupon pop-up or something like that, you can send that same list an email and say, hey, are you interested more in this category or this category? And if they, you know, click on one of them, then you know that that person's more interested in that category. And then you have a segment of your list that, you know, specifically is interested in that one category as opposed to the other one. And then you can pitch them certain products. Hey, did you see our best this product category buyer's guide? Hey, did you see our, you know, how to solve this problem that is related to this product category blog post, you know, that kind of stuff. And those people are more likely to come back then and make those purchases because you're following up with them and then you're also providing them really good information. So that's a great way to do it too. So once you get your website really well optimized, you have tons of content on it and all that stuff, the next thing to do is to reinvest in saving yourself some time by outsourcing. So obviously you'll be outsourcing all along the way, project-based, but we want to start outsourcing as your customer service and your sales. It's going to cost somewhere between $300 to $600 a month to outsource to the Philippines. And Filipinos are really cool. They're definitely very respectful people. They have a bit of an accent, but if you find the right one, they can be very intelligent and good at solving problems and good at closing sales. You just have to make sure that you hire very hard. You have to make sure that you have tests and you do phone interviews and you make sure that, you know, they can solve problems and take care of issues easily. So, you know, and then I always say like the first 2 weeks is always just a probation period. You know, if anything goes wrong or if they don't show up to work or something like that, then they're out. You have to not be afraid to fire people early on, because if they show signs of weakness early on in their job, then they're probably going to be worse later on. So they have to be really strong, proactive problem solvers in the very beginning, and you can make them work for your business for a long, long time. They're very cool people. So outsource to the Philippines. I recommend Online Jobs. It's a good website, and you know, it's a monthly fee, but it's worth it because you get access to some of the best Filipino workers out there. Other websites like Upwork and stuff like that, you kind of get you know, not as great a quality, and it costs more sometimes too. So you're not going to find any customer service agents through Fiverr either, unfortunately. So Online Jobs is the best way to go, in my opinion. If you go to ecommerceparadise.com/resources, you can find all sorts of links there where I recommend tons of stuff, where Online Jobs is actually part of the outsourcing section there as well. So you know, that's the next best thing you can do, is outsource your business customer service and sales, because then you're freeing up your time so that you don't have to always be working in your business. You don't always have to be answering emails, phone calls, and doing all this stuff, you know, especially if you're overseas. You're going to be doing that at night if you're selling in the US. So if you outsource that kind of stuff, you can get back on a regular working schedule, or, you know, you can just spend your working hours doing more business growth stuff. And that's key, because if you're building your business, if you're consistently going out there and finding new ways to, you know, get traffic to your website, or you're finding new ways to, you know, build content, or new ways to optimize, or getting new suppliers and whatnot, building new sites out, that kind of a stuff, that kind of a thing, then you're going to be always growing as a business, right? And always scaling and always building more. So definitely focus on building your business and spending your profit to optimize your website and to outsource your customer service and sales. That's the best thing you can do. So I hope you guys really enjoyed this podcast. Definitely subscribe if you haven't been subscribed yet. And if you aren't a member of the Academy yet, definitely go check it out. It's only $47 a month for a limited time. And for $97 a month, you get 1 hour of coaching every month and access to the partnership program. So if you guys aren't a member, definitely go check out academy.ecommerceparadise.com. You can sign up for the free mini course and get the 99 dropship niches list. These are actually niches that I've personally gone out and verified, found competitors, and inside the Academy, I even supply a spreadsheet where I do product research and I break down all these competitors and all these different suppliers that you can get accounts with and stuff like that. And I show a bunch of really good profitable niches you can jump into. So really low cost, and I think it's definitely high value. So go check it out, guys. And you know, if you are considering starting an e-commerce business, but you just don't know if it's quite, you know, right for you or not, definitely check out that mini course, because I talk about all the things you'll need to know before you get started. There's a lot of stuff you need to be aware of with dropshipping. It isn't just all rainbows and butterflies. It is definitely a difficult business to run sometimes, but other times it can be very passive and very fruitful. So we love it because it allows us to travel the world all the time, and even though it comes with its difficulties sometimes, we really like how we're able to just be marketers, and other people, brands specifically, can be the product developers, and they can take care of that part of the process. So definitely go check out that mini course. It's called Dropship Secrets, and you can find all this cool stuff at ecommerceparadise.com. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll see you in the next episode.